That's just for taping.
Oh, it's just for taping, so they need to hear me like this. All right, we're going to get started, and the session that you are in here is what the rabbis teach about the 10 tribes. And I'm the presenter, of course, Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries. And the reason why I wanted to share with you this information is because in both Christian and Jewish minds, we've been trained to associate the Jews with all 12 tribes. And that confusion is in, like I said, the mindset of both Christians and Jewish people. And in order to understand our Bibles, we need to understand the distinction between the house of Judah, that is the southern kingdom, and the house of Israel, because prophets were sent to each one of them. And they have different tasks to fulfill in the exile. And Yeshua's ministry, it in the two houses of Israel, it was the northern kingdom who corporately, it was prophesied, would accept and receive him, where in the southern kingdom, they wouldn't corporately accept Yeshua until the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. And what I want to show you is in the Jewish writings, they make a distinction between the 10 tribes in exile and the house of Judah or the Jewish people. And so sometimes there can be a difference between what the rabbis' writings say and what is been trained in their minds to view the 12 tribes of Israel. Because even often Orthodox Jews may think of or refer to all 12 tribes as the Jews, wherein in their writings they make a distinction between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And I'm not quite sure if it's on this presentation or not, but it says in the Talmud that when the 10 tribes return in the end of days and are joined with Judah, the 10 tribes halakhically are not going to be regarded as being Jewish. And even within, if you want to call it either the Messianic or the Hebrew roots movement, we still have those within our movement who identify with following the Torah, keeping the Sabbath and the festivals, etc., but still don't understand the two houses of Israel, the distinction between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, or even understand that it's the house of Judah who is referred to as the Jews, and that the house of Israel, they are Israelites because they're of the house of Jacob, but they are not regarded as Jews. So let's look at some of the sources here, and I know this is small, and it's likely that you're not going to be able to read the actual words, but at least you can see that what I'm sharing is from a book and from a page. Well, that's important, because instead of just saying that's what they believe, I actually want to document, you know, where what is being said is coming from. So this first one is from a book, A Matter of Return, by Raphael Eisenberg. And it was originally printed around 1980. And on page 129, he explains is that Ephraim in Judah, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, they differed ideologically and politically. The 10 tribes, who consist of Reuben, Simeon, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Ephraim, and Manasseh, seceded from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin in the days of King Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon. Jeroboam reigned over the 10 tribes known as the Kingdom of Israel, while Rehoboam remained as the ruler of the Kingdom of Judah. The two groups differed not only politically, but ideologically as well. Let's just take that statement. Remember the big Torah principle that what happens to the descendants, what happens to the fathers foreshadows what will happen to the descendants, or as an extension, biblical history is prophecy. So is there someone in the world who says that they believe in the God of Israel? They believe in Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, but they themselves have a difference ideologically and politically with seeing who he is? We call the two groups Judaism and Christianity. So the division of Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom and their differences is a prophecy of what later would become the differences of opinion and ideology between what is religiously called Judaism and Christianity. Now it goes on to say that the kingdom of Judah adhered to God and his commandments, or identified with them, while the kingdom of Israel, called Ephraim, after the leading tribe of the northern kingdom, they turned to idolatry and assimilation among the neighboring countries. And in 721 BCE, the 10 tribes were exiled by the king of Assyria. So the key point of this is that Ephraim and Judah differed ideologically and politically. And so there's a difference between the two. Now this next slide is from Moses in the Original Torah, Macmillan Company, New York, 1961, by Abba Hillel Silver. And he says, two distinct traditions are reflected in the historical and legal writings of the Bible. One of the northern kingdom and one of the southern, being Judah. In a sense, Israel and Judah were always two separate people. They were never truly united, even during the period of the United Kingdom, meaning they weren't united in ideology. They parted completely after the revolution of Jeroboam in 933. These two people shared a common racial origin and many ancestral memories, but their historic experiences from earliest times differed sharply. And so, this says that they're not united. Well, in Messianic Judaism, the formal organizations, meaning the MJAA and the UMJC, the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America and the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations, their official position regarding the 12 tribes is that they're all Jews, and the 12 tribes got united in the days of the kings. That is their official position, their theological position. And what I want to show you is what actually do the rabbis say about the issue, and what we're going to ultimately see here from the book A Matter of Return by Raphael Eisenberg on page 130, it says, according to Rabbi Arba Bonnell, the return of the 10 tribes at the time of the redemption, the redemption is the unification of the 12 tribes in the Messianic era, that the return of the 10 tribes at the time of the redemption is one of the principles of our faith. And the source that he quotes is Mashmia Yeshua, the fourth principle of faith. So, the return of Ephraim to join with Judah in Messianic times is a principle of Jewish faith. But yet, this is in contrast to the position, let's say, the MJAA and the UMJC, that says that they already were united in the days of the kings. And so, the irony of this is that one of the primary goals of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America and the Union of Messianic Jewish Congregations is to get a Jew that doesn't believe in Yeshua to believe that he's the Messiah. And so in their mind, since the majority of the Jewish people have in their mind that all 12 tribes are the Jews, that if they would go to someone who they're trying to witness to in the Jewish community that probably is not Orthodox, and they ask the question, well, what about to them, my Gentile friend, who is living beside me, and if they would hear, say, the MJAA say to them, oh, by the way, your Gentile friend, to their mind, is Jewish, and that they would wonder, who is it, and what is it that you're trying to communicate to me about this Yeshua, and you want me to believe that he's the Messiah, while at the same time you're telling me that this Gentile is Jewish, is how their mind would think through it. And so because they don't want to deal with that issue, they want the MJAA, the UMJC, want Jews who don't believe in Yeshua to believe in Yeshua, but they don't want to explain who the non-Jew is and what their role is. The easiest way for them to deal with it is to just say, well, Jews are all 12 tribes. And in order to say that it's not an event where Ephraim and Judah come together in the future, that they say that it's already happened. Now, this is the irony of their position, that they themselves don't even know and understand. That they, the MJA and the UMJC, don't even realize that the return of the 10 tribes is one of the principles of Jewish faith. They don't know it. They don't realize it. So actually, if you go to a religious Jew, and you tell a religious Jew that the 12 tribes were already united in the days of the kings, you are telling a religious Jew that Yeshua is not the Messiah. And the reason is because their criteria, I'm going to be showing you that as well, their criteria for determining who the Messiah is one of the things that the Messiah must do is unite the 12 tribes of Israel. So the irony is they're saying that the belief of Ephraim and Judah coming together is future, and that Ephraim is not Jewish. They say that that's heretical, and they're not even aware that their position is testifying to a religious Jewish audience, meaning an Orthodox Jewish audience primarily, by their position that Yeshua is not the Messiah. And so because they want to have that separation, they want the non-Jew to celebrate Christmas and Easter and eat pig. And the reason is so the Jewish world thinks it's just the Jews that should be following the Torah. And so now, if a Messianic Jew has to explain to a Jew that doesn't believe that their Gentile friend, it's okay for them to keep the Torah, it muddies the waters again. And so in order to prevent from muddying the waters, they come out with saying, we reject the two-house teaching, and we reject that non-Jews are to follow the Torah. And that belief is causing challenges and problems within the non-Jewish world who is have their eyes opened up. They're realizing that they need to express their faith in Yeshua by following the Torah, because they weren't taught following the Torah and traditional Christianity that's how you express your faith in Yeshua as the Messiah. And so now they're looking for directions, and they're wanting to know who has answers, and so they go to this one, and he says, oh, you're non-Jewish, you're not supposed to follow the Torah. And then they go to someone else, and say they say, well, you're non-Jewish, if you believe in Yeshua, you're supposed to follow the Torah. And then they go to say, well, I wonder what the rabbis say. And the rabbis say, well, you don't need to follow the Torah, you need to follow the seven laws of Noah. And they don't know what to believe. And and you don't know why people are saying what they're saying, because they don't come out and tell you. They'll mask it around the Bible. Well, the Bible says this, but the real thing is, it's an agenda that they don't want to muddy the waters and try to explain the non-Jew who wants to follow the Torah, or the non-Jew who thinks he's a part of Israel. The Messianic Jewish Alliance of America and the UMJC don't want to deal with that issue. They don't want to explain that to a Jewish audience who they're trying to get to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so you need to be aware of that is a position that the Messianic Jewish organizations take, and then you got to know why they're taking it. You got to measure it against the scriptures. And now I'm trying to show you the contrast of what Orthodox Judaism believes about it. So now this is from the book, The Messiah Text by Raphael Patai, on page 181 in the chapter, The Ingathering and the Return of the Shekinah. One of the great themes of the Messianic cycle is that of the ingathering the exiles from the four corners of the earth. Ever since the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans in the year 70, the Jews have prayed three times a day for the ingathering, which was for them synonymous with redemption. So three times a day, Orthodox Jews pray for the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. So if they're praying for it, obviously they don't believe it's happened yet. Yet, Messianic Judaism is saying that the 12 tribes are already united. So they're not even aware of what Orthodox Jews pray three times a day, or the meaning of what they're praying three times a day. So it says, closely associated with this is the 10 tribes exiled by the Assyrians in 721, believed to dwell beyond the river Sabaothion. And it says, these tribes, that is the 10 tribes, will be ingathered by the Messiah in the land of Israel. Goes on to say in the appendix of the Messiah text that the request for redemption and the coming of the Messiah addressed to God are a part of the Amidah prayer, popularly referred to as the 18 benedictions. Together with the Shema, Hear, O Israel, is the most important Jewish daily prayer recited three times a day. So the 10th prayer of the Amidah is, blow the great shofar for our freedom. Lift up a banner to gather our exiles. Gather us from the four corners of the earth. Blessed are you, O Lord, who gathers the banished of your people Israel. Three times a day they pray this prayer for the exiles to be gathered, uniting the 12 tribes. Yet the position of Messianic Judaism is that they were united in the days of the kings. So now you can see how an Orthodox Jew he's not going to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, because this is a task of the Messiah. In the book A Matter of Return by Raphael Eisenberg on page 129 and 130, it says, there is a Talmudic dispute as to whether the 12 tribes will return to be a part of the Jewish people. And Rabbi Akiva said they will not return. But Rabbi Eliezer says that their darkness will light up for them in the future, which means they will return. Both opinions are based upon different interpretations of Bible prophecy. And then it goes on to say that the halakha is with Rabbi Eliezer, that the 10 tribes will return. I want you to notice that the debate is whether they ever will or not. They do not have a debate whether they already have. So Messianic Judaism says that they did in the days of the kings. The rabbis don't even dispute whether they did. They dispute whether they ever will or not. Rabbi Akiva, of course, because he proclaimed Bar Kokhba as the Messiah and the 12 tribes were not united, he had to take the position that they won't return. Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, they will, and they will in Messianic times. So on page 130 of A Man of Return, it says, our sages determine the halakha that the 10 tribes which disappeared in Assyria shall return. So let's summarize these slides that we've covered so far. Number one, Ephraim and Judah differed ideologically and politically. Number two, the 10 tribes are not united with the house of Judah today. Number three, Orthodox Jews pray 3 times a day for the ingathering of the exiles. Number four, the Amidah prayer contains a prayer for the ingathering of the exiles. It's the 10th prayer. And number five, the Orthodox Jewish halakha is that the lost 10 tribes will unite with the house of Judah in the end of days. So next, we have the book, Mashiach, the Principles of Mashiach and the Messianic Era in Jewish Law and Tradition, by Jacob Shohet on page 20. And the subject is the ingathering of the exiles. And then it says, through the Messiah shall be the ingathering of the exiles, through the Messiah. And the verses quoted is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 and 4, Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12, and verse 16, Isaiah 43, verses 5 and 6, Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8, Ezekiel 39, verse 25, verses 27 through 29. So those are the sources that are primarily cited to show that A, the 12 tribes will be united, B, it will be the Messiah who will do it. And then, showing again that the 10 tribes returning is something in the future, from the same book, Mashiach, the Principles of Mashiach, and the Messianic Era, page 21 and 22, it says, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, exiled by the Assyrians, and dispersed beyond the river Sabbathion, will return. And it gives the following sources, the Sanhedrin, 110b, Bamidbar Rabbah, 1625, Tanhuma, Pesikta, Rabbah 32:10, a bunch of other ones. But it's all referring to that they will in the future. This is Jacob Emanuel Shohet. He is of the Chabad. Okay, now this is from the book called The Book of Redemption by Moses Nachmanides. He was a rabbi of the Middle Ages. And at the beginning of this book, he says why he wrote it. Because he was in public disputes with the Catholics. They had public debates in the Middle Ages. And the Catholics were trying to make an argument that the Messiah fulfilled all of the Old Testament. And Nachmanides' reply was, no, he didn't, because the 12 tribes are not united. And the Messiah's got to unite the 12 tribes, and that hasn't happened yet. So his whole purpose of writing the book is to show that the 12 tribes haven't been united yet. And it's called the Book of Redemption. We'll take questions whenever we're done, okay? And so it says, Jeremiah 30, verse 2 and verse 24, in the Book of Redemption on page 27. Among the prophecies of the book of Jeremiah, which perverse or speak of the future redemption, is the section, write you all the words that I've spoken unto you. There the prophet said, in the end of days you will consider it. At that time, says the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of the earth. And so he's trying to say that those words in Jeremiah was written to the 10 tribes as a part of all 12 tribes. And so, now he's commenting on page 28 to Ezekiel chapter 16, 20, and chapter 36. And it says, in the words of Ezekiel, there are many prophecies which concern the future. In his prophetic utterance, he spoke of the return of the captivity of Jerusalem, which is the house of Judah or the Jews, and the captivity of Samaria, meaning the 10 tribes of Israel. And now he's making a comment on page 29 about Ezekiel chapter 37 and the two sticks coming together. He said this is a prophecy of the future and of the end of days. Now here is in the Torah Anthology of the 12 Prophets, Volume 2, page 417, commenting to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 6, which says, I will strengthen the house of Judah and deliver the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, for I will have mercy on them, and they will be as though I had never cast them out. The commentary is, where it says, I will deliver the house of Joseph, they said that's a reference to the 10 tribes. I will bring them back, I will bring them back to the land of Israel. And now it says in the Torah Anthology to the 12 Prophets, Volume 2, page 308, that the 10 tribes were found in very distant places, and they will not return to their ancestral home until the end of days. They will only return in the end of days at the time of the final redemption. That is, the end of the exile. That is, messianic times. Next, this is from the book Ephraim, the Gentile Children of Israel by Yair Davidi. Yair Davidi lives in Jerusalem. I've stayed with him several times when I've been to Israel. I want you to notice the title of his book, Ephraim, the Gentile Children of Israel. And he's an Orthodox Jew. And by definition, in order to be an Orthodox Jew, you're not allowed to be an independent thinker. I'm serious. You have to believe what has been passed down. So therefore, he can't claim to be an Orthodox Jew and write a book saying Ephraim the Gentile Children of Israel, because if Orthodox Judaism doesn't see Ephraim as being non-Jews, then he, by definition, cannot be an Orthodox Jew. You understand? So, he writes in chapter 9, the title in his book is Christianity and the Lost Ten Tribes. He's saying that the ten lost tribes are within Christianity. This is an Orthodox Jew. Next, in the Torah Anthology, volume to the 12 Prophets, volume 1, page 489, this is from Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 20, when it says, and the exiled host of the children of Israel as far as Zephirath and Sepharad. Now, in the commentary, what is Zarephath and what is Sepharad? Because it says the exiles are in Zephirath and Sepharad. So, in the commentary, according to Rashi, the exiled host of the children of Israel who are among the Canaanim refer to the ten tribes. They were exiled from Canaan to Zarephath. Some say that Zarephath means France and Sepharad means Spain. Then it says this entire prophecy relates to the future. And then they say England was also considered a part of the kingdom of Zephirath or France. And Rabbi Tanhum identifies Zephirath as France. The point is the rabbis are saying from the locations that are mentioned that the ten tribes would go, they mentioned that they would be in France, England, and Spain. You know, we have other sources that say they went east. But here we have rabbinical sources that say they also went west. Now in Hosea chapter 11 verse 10, it says, he will roar like a lion. When he roars, the children will come trembling out of the west. In the Torah Anthology to the 12 Prophets, volume 1, page 190 and 191, the commentary to Hosea 11 verse 10 says, in the era of the redemption, he will roar. And then the children of the living God, then in exile in the west, will come trembling. They're in exile in the west. That's Europe, the United States. Now, one of their places of return in Zechariah chapter 10:10 is Gilead and Lebanon. It's one of the places of return. Present-day Israel does not have Gilead or Lebanon today. But yet that's one of the places of return. So how are they going to have Gilead and Lebanon so that the 10 tribes can return there, among other places? There has to be a regional war. Perhaps a war with Iran or some other one will cause those areas to come available again. So in Micah chapter 7 verse 14, it says the 10 tribes will return to Bashan and Gilead. It says, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. In the commentary, in the Torah anthology, to the 12 prophets, volume 2, page 106, it says that the flock of your heritage pertains to the 10 tribes. That the 10 tribes will return to Bashan and Gilead. Well, what is Bashan and Gilead today? It is western Jordan, and it extends up to southern Syria. What's the summary of this section? The rabbis say that the Messiah is going to gather the exiles of Israel, and that the 12 tribes will be united in the end of days. The 10 tribes will be scattered to the ends of the earth, but they would be located in the west, as well. When they return, among the places where they return to will be Lebanon, Bashan, and Gilead in the end of days. Now, in Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 6, it says the following. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 6. This is what the King James says. There will be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim will cry, arise and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. The translation says the watchman's going to say that. Well, the Hebrew word watchman is Natzar. And the Hebrew letters for Natzar is the Nun, the Zadi, and the Resh. Well, the way you say Christian in Hebrew is Nun, Zadi, Resh. Same letters. The same letters that you spell or make up watchman, not czar, is the Hebrew word for Christian, which is Notzrim. So, Yair Davidi, in his book, Ephraim, the Gentile Children of Israel, on page 224, he says the root, Nun, Zadi, Resh, is that from which the word Notzri, meaning Christian, is derived. I'm coming from that Yeshua, he was raised or lived in Nazareth. It was suggested above that Notzri had previously been the name for the type of religious practices that the 10 tribes engaged in. At all events, the prophets in Isaiah especially may be understood as employing this root in connection with the lost 10 tribes in their religious connotations. Now, regarding the characteristic of Ephraim when he returns, let's look at the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, there's a marriage made between Hosea and Gomer. And there's three children that are mentioned from this marriage in Hosea chapter 1. In Hosea 1:4, it's Jezreel. Jezreel means God will sow or God will scatter. The second child in Hosea 1:6 is Lo Ruhama, which means no mercy. The third child is Lo Ami, which means not my people. I'm going to scatter you in the nations. I'm not going to show you mercy, and you're not my people. Now, in the art scroll to the 12 prophets, volume 1 on page 11, and commenting to and about the book of Hosea, in these verses, it says, Hosea describes the final redemption and the return to the land. This is the words of Arbabanel, and also described by the rabbis in Pesachim, 87b. And then it says in Hosea chapter 1 verse 10 in the English Bible, and the children of Israel will be as the sand of the sea which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it will come to pass in the place where it was said, you are not my people, there it will be said, you are the sons of the living God. Well, the phrase in the number of the children of Israel will be like that of the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. The commentary and the art scroll to that is that the children of Israel, at the dawn of their redemption, that's the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, will be bound up as one by their devotion to the Almighty and His Torah. So they said at the time of the redemption, we know who Ephraim is because they're going to return to the Torah. They're going to love the Almighty and love His Torah. What do we call that? We call that the Hebrew Roots Movement. So the rabbis say one of the signs of the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel is that Ephraim will return to the Torah. Now, the prophecy is that in the place where it said, "You are not my people," you will be called as sons of the living God. Now, John 1:12 calls a son of God is one that believes in Yeshua as the Messiah. So from a New Testament perspective, Hosea 1:10 is a prophecy that those of the northern kingdom would believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And now, this next thing I'm going to show you is very good. Let me give you the background of this. Moses Maimonides, known as the Rambam, who lived in the Middle Ages, he made an effort to bring together all of Jewish law by categories, and everything about that category he put in a book, so someone can easily see about the whatever commandment and what the laws are about it. And his work is called the Mishneh Torah. And you could get what he put together if you would like. It's 27 books. But in one of the books, it's called the Book of the Kings. And in chapter 11 of the Laws Concerning Kings, that the book is the Laws Concerning Kings, in chapter 11 of the Laws Concerning the Kings is the Laws Concerning the Coming of the Messiah. So this is really the Orthodox Jewish belief about who the Messiah is and how you identify the Messiah. And so this is a book, I Await His Coming Every Day, by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson on page 14. And in his book, he's quoting from Maimonides' Mishneh Torah and the laws of the kings and the laws concerning the coming Messiah. So here in chapter 11, it says, "In future time, King Messiah will arise and renew the Davidic dynasty, restoring it to its initial sovereignty. He will rebuild the temple and gather in the dispersed remnant of Israel. Whoever does not believe in him or does not await his coming denies not only the statements of the prophets, but also those of the Torah and Moses, who attest to his coming." And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And says, "The Lord your God will bring you back, will bring back your captivity and have compassion on you. He will return and gather you from all the nations, even if your dispersed ones are in the furthest regions of the heavens. There God will gather you, and He will bring you to the land." These explicit words of the Torah include all that was said on this subject by the prophet. So, Maimonides says that Deuteronomy chapter 30, the first few verses there, speaks about the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel from exile and the Messiah doing it. And that summarizes all that was said on the subject by the prophets. And in the next section of this, Maimonides says that if a king will arise from the house of David and does a variety of things, that includes, the last thing he says, if he gathers in
Sure.